Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. May God's grace, mercy, and blessing be upon us all. Amen. As we journey through the Holy 50 days, we heard that we read from the Gospel of St. John, and from the very beginning, first Sunday, we read that Christ appeared to his disciples and gave him his peace. So we learned he's teaching us who he is. Through the Gospel of St. John, he reveals who he is after he's resurrected. After Christ, our Savior, has resurrected from the dead, he's giving us a few key points of who he is so that we can emulate or be like him as he has resurrected to heaven. So the first Sunday is peace. So he gave his disciples his peace because they were worried and they were in hiding. So the first thing Christ gives us is his peace. The second Sunday is he said, I am the bread of life. So he gave us the bread of life, his body. So even though he's resurrected, he's given us the bread of life on the altar during every liturgy so that he said, so that you can abide in me and I abide in you. And the last Sunday, which was the third Sunday, we learned that Christ is the living water. As he spoke to the Samaritan woman, he said that he is the living water, and whoever drinks from this water will never thirst again. So in continuing with the same theme of the Holy 50s today, we learn about Christ being the light of the world. He said, walk in the light. A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. So he said, Christ said a lot of I am statements, but the only I am statement is the one that he says, I am the light, is the only one that he says, I am the light, and then he called us also the light. He said, you are the light of the world. So which one is it? Is he the light, or are we the light of the world? Because he said both. He never said, I am the bread of life, and you are the bread of life. He never said, I am the resurrection, and you are the resurrection. But when it came to the light, he called himself the light of the world, and he also called us the light of the world. So what's the difference here? What's the distinction? Who's the light? So the source of all light is God, of course. In his divinity, he is the source of all light. When God created the world and he said, let there be light, that light wasn't a celestial light. It wasn't the suns and the stars. It was his own divine light, because the stars and the suns were created after that. So the first thing he created was there, let there be light. It's his light in the world. So where are we then? Where's our light? He said, you are the light of the world. So how do we fit into this equation? He's the source of light, and we transmit this light. We transmit or reflect this light to others. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So you can think of all of us here as light bulbs. Light bulbs. If you disconnect the light bulb from the source, it doesn't bring any light. There's no electricity going through it, no current, so it doesn't bring any light. It's just like any dead bulb. So we are like light bulbs. And just like light bulbs have different capacities and different strengths and different shineness and all these characteristics and all these criterias in the light bulbs, we're like that. We have different strengths and we have different brightness, but it's not because of our own goodness or because of our own spirituality or how many times I attend church or if I'm a priest or I'm a servant or I'm a bishop. No, that brightness and that capacity is given through Christ, is given through God himself. And he's the one that chooses who does what and who has what capacity in this world. In the parable of the steward, when he says he gave a steward 10 talents and he gave somebody else 5 talents and he gave a third person 1 talent, it never says why the distinction, why he chose to give this person 10 and this person 5 and this person 1. And they weren't judged based on how much capacity they have. They were judged based on how faithful they were in what they were given. So what this tells us is that we can't control how many talents that God has given us, but we can control how faithful we are with those talents that he's given us. So in all of our life and our everyday, today life, we are given talents. We are meant to shine. We are meant to shine as children of God, are meant to shine in this world, just like a light bulb. We're meant to shine. We're meant to always be connected to the source of light. He said, he's light of light, true God of true God. As we say in the creed, he's light of light. So there's no darkness in him whatsoever. But we sometimes have darkness, just like a light bulb some light bulbs you can dimmable light bulb, you can dim the light and you can't really see if it's connected or not connected. You have to increase the dimmer switch to be able to see it. So sometimes we are like that in our life. The darkness overtakes us. And that's why he says, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. God forbid that darkness overtakes us. Darkness overtakes us in our life means that, sin in our life becomes habitual. It becomes a habit. I do it not even thinking. I do the wrong things in my life, and I don't hear that guilty voice in my ear anymore. It's been I've been desensitized to the voice. I got used to the voice and not hear it anymore. So that's what it means, lest darkness overtake you. And as the light in the world shines, just like any light that shines, we can able, through that light, we are able to see where we are going. We are able to see things to avoid, where it's able to give us some discernment and some wisdom on things to avoid, and if there's a pothole, if there's something in the way, to avoid it. But if there's darkness and it's pitch black in my life and I'm walking around aimlessly, I don't know where I'm going, there's no aim in my life, I hit things on the way, I don't know what's happening, I can't discern, I can't tell if people around me are trying to be nice to me, trying to be good, or if they have ulterior motives, I can't tell where God's voice is in my life, what path God wants me to take, because I'm in darkness. I'm living in darkness. So the light in my world gives me direction, tells me where I'm going, tells me how to get there, tells me how far I am from getting there. Also, the light reveals the little things in my life. When I feel like if I'm away from the source of light, I can't see if there's a spot on my white garment. I can't see if my hands are dirty or clean. I can't see any of that because I'm in darkness. So the closer we get to the light, the closer we are closer and closer to Christ himself, who is the true light, then I can be able to self-reflect and see the blemishes in my life. If I'm away from the source of light, I will think that I'm leading a perfect life and I'm a good person because I'm away from that light. I don't see the blemishes in my life. And as I get closer and closer to the light, I begin to see these blemishes. Just like all these saints that we venerate, they didn't reach a point where they were in perfection, but the closer and closer they got to Christ, the closer and closer they got to God in their spiritual life, they were able to see their own blemishes more and more. In the liturgy that we always pray, the liturgy of St. Basil, he said that he came to us who were sitting in darkness and the shadow of death. So after man has fallen, we were living in darkness. So Christ's incarnation has given us light. And that's why we remember it in the liturgy. Every time we play the liturgy, we remember that we were living in darkness. And also in the liturgy of St. Gregory, the theologian, he says, as true light, you have shone upon the lost and the ignorant. So it goes to show you that before the light, we were lost and ignorant. Lost, like I said, not knowing where to go. And ignorant, not aware of what's happening around us. We're living in ignorance. So he said, walk in the light as you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And then I'll skip down. He was saying to the Pharisees that he was quoting Isaiah and saying that he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. It means that God has left them to be in their blindness and in their hardening of heart. God did not himself blind their eyes, but they kept refusing and refusing. They saw many signs from Christ, but they kept refusing to accept him. So God left them and let them be. So sometimes that happens in our life. When we ask God to give us signs and give us miracles and show us this and appear in a dream to me and show me. And he gives us signs from everything around us, from our readings, from people around us, from sermons we hear, from people that we meet. And we refuse and refuse and refuse and still want to live in blindness. So he leaves us to our blindness and to our hard-heartedness. And then another quote he says to them, he goes on to say, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And this is an alarming statement to all of us, because we're living in an era where we love the praise of men more than the praise of God. This was 2,000 years ago, and it applies, I would say, probably a lot more today with the advent and the creation of social media. Everybody's always looking for the praise of men. How many followers I have, how many likes I get, how many retweets, whatever. All these looking for the praise of men. People no longer go out to enjoy each other's company or go on vacation to relax. They go so that they can post about it and see how many likes they get. They're missing the point of being in fellowship together, being with their loved ones, but they want to share with others to feed their own egos, to feed their own pride. And this is what Christ warned us about 2,000 years ago, and it's still happening probably more now. He said, because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So this is a nice point to self-reflect on. Do I like the praise of men more than the praise of God? So it says even the rulers believed in him. They believed. They believed in Christ. And yet they said that they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. There's a nice meditation that Saint John Chrysostom says. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But he says, what kind of rulers are these? These rulers are actually slaves to the opinions of men. They're not rulers. They're not in place of leadership or authority, but they're actually slaves to the opinions of men. And this is, again, a self-reflection that we should all think about. Are we slaves to the opinion of people? Do we follow or we do things based on people's opinions? It's better to obey God than to obey men. In the book of Acts, when the apostles were asked not to speak the word, the name of Christ anymore, they said it is better to obey God than to obey men. So this is a nice meditation that we should take with us today for this upcoming week, that we are the light of the world and we are connected to the source of light. But are we slaves to the opinions of men, or are we rulers, truly rulers and leaders in this world, and we are shining in this world just like Christ asked us to shine and be light of this world, not for our own glory, but so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. So remember that we are all like the light bulbs that we see. We are asked to be always connected to the source. If we are disconnected, we're not going to be able to emit any light or reflect any light. To always remember to always stay connected and to not be slaves to the opinions of men, but ask for the praise of God more than the praise of men, and to God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.